But before that, we're going to talk a little bit now about the fact that today is World Bipolar Day. The whole idea being to raise awareness of this condition and empower those living with bipolar with a free program that is available from the organisation AWARE, which does fantastic work here in Ireland. To that end, we have Dr. Susan Brannick, who is Clinical Director of AWARE, joining us now. And we're also delighted to be joined by Liam Gilday, who knows all about bipolar, has lived with it and is now helping others who are living with bipolar as well. Liam and Susan, welcome to you both.
Good afternoon.
We might start with you, Susan. Will you give us just a kind of a layperson's definition, if you like, that we can all understand of what bipolar is?
Sure, yeah. So bipolar, or some people might call it bipolar disorder, is specifically relating to a condition that affects someone's mood, kind of thinking and behaviour. So if you think about it, really, we can all have changes of mood that might be frequent, maybe ups and downs. But I suppose someone who's living with bipolar might have episodes that are frequent enough and maybe severe enough to be classified more as a mental health condition. So bipolar really means the kind of poles between the two. So depression of a low mood and mania or elation, a higher mood. So there's lots of different types of bipolar. Again, many people might call it bipolar disorders because it's, as I said, different types. Predominantly, people may experience bipolar 1, which is characterized mainly by quite severe episodes of elation that might really impact the person's behavior, as I said. So the stuff that they do, maybe what they might think at the time, maybe feelings of agitation, increased energy, that kind of thing. And then conversely, depression. So all of the symptoms that might go along with the depression as well. So not that people would alternate between the two, but in terms of bipolar 1, people may have significant episodes of elation and then other periods of depression. Bipolar 2 is the other main type of bipolar, where people may have what is called hypomania. So the period of elation may not be as intense, or it might not go on as long, or it may not have such a impact on the person's life, in a sense. So I guess this is a way to understand how this condition affects someone's mood overall.
Okay, and I presume, Susan, that there's lots of help available. I presume there's medication and other ways of treating bipolar.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of good research on bipolar, which is really kind of part of the reason that we really encourage kind of learning more about it and why we participate in World Bipolar Day, you know, to raise awareness. So there's medication is one of the frontline treatments for bipolar. Many people find that really effective. Psychological therapy is also a key intervention that's really helpful. Some people describe bipolar as a disorder of sleep, in a sense. So it just shows how important sleep can be. Maybe sometimes sleep can lead to mood changing, or it might be a symptom when things are feeling quite difficult. So there's lots of general lifestyle factors that can help too. So I suppose we offer in AWARE the Living Well with Bipolar program, which is sort of just a self-management program as well, to support people to understand the condition in order that they can access the help that's there and also understand themselves and their own trigger points to live very well with bipolar.
And Liam, you're one of the people who is living very well with bipolar, but I would imagine it was probably not the case that, you know, I would imagine your life was quite different prior to you being diagnosed.
Yeah, it was a tough road. You know, I would have been undiagnosed for many years. So I would have been showing signs of depression in the late 90s. But look, there was no awareness in school back then, and there was a huge stigma towards mental illness. So it was 2009 before I even went to a GP to get treatment, and then wait a couple of years then figuring out getting the proper diagnosis. So I got the bipolar diagnosis in 2013, so you know, it was a good thing to get. But there was a lot of learnings for the next 5 years, and things I did right and things I did wrong. But thankfully now I'm where the last 8 years, so I'm bipolar type 2, so my mania will be more hypomania. So it's just kind of like elated energy, you know, very little need for sleep, and rapid speech, which was a big thing for me, like, you know, just running up phone bills of 400-500 euro a month and overspending. And but you couldn't really, I could be like that for 4 or 5 months, but then I'd crash, and you know, the depressions were severe.
My goodness, that sounds like a really hard road, Liam. And you got help, and then what did that help look like? What kind of help did you need?
I guess a lot of people think for somebody with bipolar or any other mental illness that they're hospitalised. I actually wasn't hospitalised. I just had a daycare treatment. So I'm in Mayo, so the nearest town to us there. So I was over there Monday to Friday, and just getting the proper diagnosis and getting the proper medication. So, you know, ensuring I was on mood stabilizers instead of antidepressants. So, you know, for somebody with bipolar, which happens a lot, if they're only diagnosed with depression and they're put on antidepressants, it would lift the mood, but it would cause a lot more medication highs. So the big thing was taking your medication. But then for me, I still was feeling a bit of stigma. So I did come off my meds twice, and I paid 12 months and an 18-month depressive episode as a price. So look, it's a learning curve. I think like 90% of people with bipolar would come off their meds. But, sleep me is huge as well. Like I know if I'm, there was a psychiatrist said before, he said, if you want a bipolar episode, don't sleep. So of any mental illness out there, there's always a sleep disorder is part. And like, that's true, you know. A lot of people would see it as a sleep disorder, because when I was hypomanic, I was only sleeping 2 or 3 hours because I had so much energy. And then when I was depressed, I either couldn't sleep or wanted to stay in bed all day. So it's a tricky diagnosis, you know.
I can imagine. And Liam, what's people's reaction like nowadays when you tell them you're bipolar? I mean, I presume you don't, you know, it's not something that's likely to pop up in conversation with a stranger, but if and when it does, and you let people know, look, this is what I have, this is what I'm living with, by and large, do they react well, or is there still a little bit of stigma, do you think?
I think in general they react well, but that's probably more so to the fact that I talk about bipolar, like the weather. You know, I'm not going to talk about it on a Saturday night when I'm out with the lads, but if somebody asked me a couple of questions or the TikTok channel, and I wrote a book on the same as well. So I've been at this awareness work now for 8 years. Back in 2013, there wasn't as much awareness, and there were awkward conversations, but look, I'm well known for being an ambassador for this now. So I think there is, and the only thing I would say is that there still probably is a bit of stigma in the workplace, because I think that, the big thing for me was when I was getting my diagnosis, you know, I was almost a bit, not embarrassed, but a bit worried about telling my manager about it. And, you know, you'd be thinking, you know, if I tell my manager about it, am I going to get, you know, will I get that promotion, or, you know, how will I be viewed? But the stigma is different, but we have a way to go. Like, I think where we're at the minute now is if you're talking to somebody and you're saying I was depressed for 4 or 5 months, and, you know, I'm on medication and back running and I feel great now. I think Irish society is very comfortable with that, but they're not quite as comfortable if I said, oh, I have schizophrenia or have bipolar disorder. I think that we have small bit to go. But look, Aware are doing great work, and that bipolar education program. But, you know, there are signs that things are moving. I wasn't expecting it. I set up a TikTok channel there a couple of weeks ago, and there's, I think it's like 300,000 views on different videos. And
my God, that's incredible.
Yeah, now I veered into neuroscience, so that's what I do now. And I'm teaching neuroscience and for corporate, and look at the way I look at it. Like, I suppose a fascination with the brain now, and a fascination with sleep and phone addiction. And that's one thing I need to be careful with as well, is that I know if I'm on the phone too late, it's going to affect my sleep. But also, I have to be extremely careful for bipolar people, which, you can get addicted to TikTok and all these channels, and there's too much dopamine going around in your head. So I'll always know if I'm on the phone at 12 o'clock at night, when I wake up the next morning, I'll know.
You'll pay for it,
But, look, bipolar is always seen from a negative point of view, but, it's changed my life in the positives. I was an accountant, and then I started doing work for Aware, and then, it's changed my life around completely. So, I had a very tough 20 years, but it hasn't gone to waste. And, you know, when I'm going into a company talking, like, I can talk about that experience for 20 years. And I still get a lot of messages on LinkedIn. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's nice. It's refreshing to see that I get messages from fellas because they're the hard market. I think women in general are more open to it. But fellas, you know, you get nice messages. And I haven't got any negativity at all. Because, it's all good.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. It sounds like you're doing phenomenal work, Liam, in fairness. Susan, I don't want the occasion to go by without maybe just getting some important messages out there. And we don't have a whole lot of time left, but is there any sort of red flags that people should be aware of? Someone who's not diagnosed or maybe has concerns about a family member?
Sure. I suppose, as Liam said, sometimes it can take a long time to get to a diagnosis of bipolar. Often one of the reasons for that is people don't always go to their GP when they might be experiencing that more hypomania or elation experience, you know, so having loads of energy, feeling like you can do loads, everything's possible, not sleeping very well. So I guess if you're noticing that your mood can fluctuate, we're not talking that it fluctuates necessarily in the course of a day or a week, but you see those large extremes, or I suppose if you're just generally concerned that you're not able to do the things that you would like to be doing, whether that's kind of feeling over energetic or feeling very low in mood, really, really kind of talking to your GP is a first port of call, and sharing all of the experiences that might be part of that, not just the depressive experience. In Aware, we offer a phone line as well, so that's open 10 in the morning till 10 at night. You can call there and speak to a trained volunteer, maybe just to talk a little bit more through if you're wondering or kind of wondering where to go to for support. If you're worried about a family member, I guess the key thing I would say as a psychologist, always noticing changes and sustained pattern of changes. So this is different for the person. If it's a new kind of emergence of something, and always maybe seeing if it's possible to speak to them first. And as I said, in Aware too, we have the phone line. We also have a relatives and friends group too, where people who might be supporting a loved one can learn more about bipolar, about depression, and crucially meet people who might be in the same boat, and share experiences. So we have that for relatives. And as I said, we also have the Living Well with Bipolar group for people who have that diagnosis. So there's, I guess it's just really important to say there is loads of help out there. It's about finding the right fit for you, but there is something. So I guess it's just a case of maybe kind of taking those steps. The first step is often the hardest, but the most useful, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we let you both go, Liam, a couple of people have been texting in wanting to know about, you mentioned TikTok there. Is it a TikTok channel you have or a TikTok account? And excuse my ignorance now, I'm not great on the old social media.
I wrote a book on it as well, but let me see. If I forward you on the, I think it's the Lean Guilty Educator. So I'm not pretending to be an influencer now. My video reels now are just my phone up against the office window. I don't have time now for the stand and the mirrors and all that. But
if they put your name into TikTok, they might find you.
They'll find me. If they put my name into Google, they'll find me.
Into Google, your TikTok videos will I'm sure be useful and helpful to people out there who are living with this. Listen, I'm so sorry we don't have more time to spend with you both, because in particular, Liam, it's been so enlightening listening to you and finding out a little bit more about bipolar, because like so many people out there, I didn't really know that much about it apart from knowing the actual term itself. So thank you for being so generous with sharing a little of your own story with us. And Susan, we work closely with Aware on this programme, and I know everyone from Aware is very forthcoming in chatting to us as well and doing great work. So thank you both for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a million.
And that's Liam Gilday there, who is talking about living with bipolar, and Dr. Susan Brannick, Clinical Director with Aware. And today is World Bipolar Day. If you want to find out more about what Aware can do to help people with bipolar, go onto their website, aware.ie.